Well, good morning. So good to see all of you here after I've been gone for about, 10 days? I do hope you miss me, you know. But I'm glad to be back again in teaching and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, which, of course, I love to do. No, there's just a few announcements that I need to make. Jean and Hayward Lester, next week, Sunday, is the last Sunday. They'll be leaving back to their home in Tennessee. Marla Fetters, mother of Alisa, they're leaving also May 31st. And they're going to be gone. I'm sure Alisa will be gone through December until Ian gets back also from Okinawa. So they're leaving. And then, of course, Sharon Champagne is visiting relatives and friends, and she'll be gone for a whole month. So she'll be back after a month. So good to know that you all have been here worshiping with us and enjoying the fellowship, and we enjoy the fellowship with you all. See? I'm glad to see Matt Brady and Justin Eske, and I'll know you later, okay? So glad to see you all. And the good news is the fact that the 3rd Marines don't have to go to Afghanistan anymore, right? So that's a real, real good news. So I'm glad that they're all here. See, I'm teaching a series in regard to God's eternal purpose. See, when God created man in his own image, He endowed man with being a rational, intelligent human being, and that man has the power to make choices, the power to make decisions. Either he can obey God or disobey him, or he can choose evil, or he can choose that which is right. God made him that way. And when that man chooses to do evil like Adam and Eve did, they were cast out of the Garden of Eden, because in that Garden of Eden is the tree of life. So he took away that privilege of these Adam and Eve, of these two, of being able to go and take the fruit for eternal life or for life itself. So, because even before the foundation of the world, and even before he created the heavens and the earth, he already foreknew that when man would be created in his own image and in the rational being that he would be, he knew that man would sin. And because he knew that man would sin, he designed a plan not only that will justify himself in putting this plan into effect, but also to justify man because of the fact it will be man's responsibility to choose that which God prepared for him so that man can have paradise or can have heaven in the future or for eternity. God made that plan, and he designed that plan, and he carried out that eternal purpose in Jesus Christ. And so when the passage was read in Ephesians 1, it stated in one short paragraph or one short phrase that he had summed up all things in Jesus Christ, which means that salvation, my redemption, is centered only in one person, that's Jesus Christ. It means that there's no other one in which we can be saved except in Jesus Christ. Even the Apostle Peter in Acts, the 4th chapter, had stated, in none other is there salvation, nor is there any other name given under heaven wherein we must be saved. Then Moses had predicted or had prophesied way back in the book of Deuteronomy, and told the Israelites that there will be a prophet like unto Moses that will be raised, and to him you shall listen. If you don't listen, then you will be cut off. So Moses said that this is only one person through whom I will be saved, and by whom I can have eternal life. I look also for this. I want to know what are the all things that are included in this passage of Scripture of Ephesians 1 that begins in verse 9 and ended in verse 10. It says, He made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His kind intention, which He purposed in Him, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens, and things on the earth. All things is centered in Jesus Christ. All things He had purposed in Christ. All things that is based upon the fullness of the time when that right time came for Christ to come into the world. All things is centered in Jesus Christ, in the heavens and things upon the earth. So what are the all things? There are several that I want to discuss with you this morning and to see that leaves no room at all for any religious bodies, any religious leaders, any religious doctrine except those things that are found in Jesus Christ. That's the whole point of what Christ had purposed or what God had purposed in Christ even before the foundation of the world. So whatever things that the apostles preached when on the Great Commission were already set up and set before even time began. So I want to look at these four things or five things in which is included, rather, or these are included in regard to all things. In Matthew 28, verse 18, this is the first one, in which Christ had said to the apostles before the Great Commission, the Great Commission, He had stated, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. He says, all authority. When you speak about the word all, the word means each and everyone. The word means wholly, entirely, and complete. So when Christ had stated in regard to this great commission that He gave to the apostles before He ascended into heaven, He had said all, which means the completeness of that authority, the wholeness of that authority. That means He leaves no room whatsoever for any other authority except the authority that was given by God to Jesus Christ. Any other authority, or anyone who claims to have authority in regard to religious matters or religious doctrines or traditional doctrines, is a usurped authority. Because only to Christ did God delegate that authority in which I can listen to Him, obey Him, and know because of that authority I am assured that whenever I obey the word of Jesus Christ, I know that that word had come from God through Jesus Christ. See, to reject Christ is to reject God. He told the apostles that. He told the apostles during the personal ministry, and He said that anyone that rejects you rejects me. But anyone who rejects me will reject the one who sent me. The reason is because of the fact that the superiority of Jesus Christ, as was declared in the book of Hebrews, tells me that the power that comes for my salvation, the means by which I can be saved and redeemed of my sins and have that hope in heaven be fulfilled, is only in accordance to the authority of Jesus Christ. No other authority. In Ephesians, the first chapter, verse 19 and verse 21, how far is the authority? I look in chapter 1 of this book, it says this, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of His power toward us who believe, These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead, seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, and look at what is given to Christ. He is far above all rule, all authority, all power, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. So the span of this authority is beyond that of any authority that you find upon the earth. It expands to the point in which it says all dominion, in which it says all rule, all power. And in fact, he also stated every name that is named, he's higher than those names in regard to his authority that God has given him. He told Pilate when he stood in the trial, when he stood before Pilate in the trial, Pilate had said, "Don't you know I have the power to release you?" Christ said, "You have no power other than the power that God has given you." And yet, if you look at these other passages, Christ had stated, "All authority has been given unto me." You look also in Colossians 3, verse 17, whatever you do in word or in deed, Paul says you do all in the name of Jesus Christ. Right? That's all. In the authority and in the power that Jesus Christ had, that was delegated to him by the Father who is in heaven. All of this is made possible by the death, by the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'll take the second thing that's included in this all of Ephesians 1, 9, and 10. In verse 17 of this book of Ephesians, it says this. It says, I don't cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that I pray that your eyes of your heart may be enlightened. You will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power to us who believe. God bestowed upon Christ all the wisdom and knowledge of the heavenly places. God has shown the fact that Christ is the final spokesman and that there's no other spokesman after Jesus Christ. That means the revelation of the gospel plan of salvation, the plan in which I can be redeemed from my sins, is vested in Jesus Christ. I look in Hebrews, the first chapter. Here's what the Hebrew writer wrote. He says, God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days had spoken unto us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. All things, all the revelation in regard to God himself, because Christ came to reveal God, that no one has seen God at any time, only the Christ is here, he says in John the first chapter, and Christ came to reveal him. And in this Hebrew writer, in which he spoke in Hebrews the first chapter, that in these last days, in this last dispensation of the dispensation of Jesus Christ, because after this dispensation is the end of the world, the Hebrew writer says, God speaks through his Son in these days. So the revelation in which I have, it includes the grace and truth, according to John the first chapter, verse 14. The law came by Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ, and of course truth. According to John 8:32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. In Galatians 1, chapter verse 8 and 9, there's no other gospel except the gospel that they had received as preached by the apostle and as taught by the apostle. that if any man would preach any other gospel than that which they had heard or that which they had received, that person is then becoming accursed because they're listening to another gospel. All revelation in regard to the doctrine and the redemption of man is vested in Jesus Christ. I look also at another passage of Scripture that tells me about this revelation or about this knowledge of Christ. That's found in 2 Peter, the first chapter. In 2 Peter, the first chapter, he says in verse 2, he says, grace and peace be multiplied to you where? In the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord, seeing that his divine power has granted to us all things pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. So I have over here that God's divine power through Jesus Christ had given to us all of the things necessary that pertains to my life and to my godliness. Anything that I need in regard to this life, I have through Jesus Christ. Anything that teaches me in regard to godliness and my relationship with my Father in heaven through Jesus Christ, again, comes in the knowledge or through the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Where else then should I go to find the thing that will make me perfect unto every good work or equip unto every good work, as stated in 2 Timothy, the third chapter, that I have every scripture to make me complete and will furnish me unto every good work, except and found only in the revelation of Jesus Christ. So this is the second major thing that I have in regard to what is included in the all in which God had summed up all things in Christ. The complete revelation, or I can also include the complete gospel of Jesus Christ, is found in that revelation of the wisdom and the knowledge of God the Father. Right? I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God to everyone that believes, to the Jew first, as well as to the Greek. Why? Because in that gospel contains the righteousness of God, that the righteous shall live by faith. Here's the third thing that I found in regard to what all things include. I go in chapter 1 of the book of Ephesians, and I see here about all things that are given to Christ that's found in the church. See, the church is part of the eternal purpose of God. You can read that in Ephesians 3, verse 10 and 11, which he purposed in Christ Jesus to make known the manifold wisdom of God through the church, according to the eternal purpose of the Father. And so when I look at Ephesians, the first chapter, see what it says about all things in regard to the church of Jesus Christ. So when I read this passage, there's no room, in other words, for any other religious bodies. No room at all. All you read throughout the whole Old and New Testament, the prophecies of the Old Testament regarding the coming kingdom, refers to only one kingdom. All the prophecies that regard to the Father's house that shall be established in Jerusalem only refers to one house. And it's stated in 1 Timothy 3 that men ought to know how to behave themselves in the household of God, which is the church. And so when I read in Ephesians 1, and it tells me about the things that were subjected to Christ in verse 22, he put all things. That's what God did. He put all things in subjection under the feet of Jesus Christ. And gave Christ as being the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. You have over here the church. And who's the head of the church as stated here? Jesus Christ. All things are in subjection in regard to the church. And they're all in subjection under the feet of Jesus Christ. So there's no more room for anyone else in regard to the things of the church. All things include the worship of the church. All things include the organization of the church. All things include how to enter the church in the gospel plan of salvation. All things, in which he said over here, he gave him and put all things in subjection under his feet. So there's no other body than Jesus Christ. Christ is the foundation of the church according to 1 Corinthians 3, verse 10 and 11. Christ is the chief cornerstone of the church according to 1 Peter, the second chapter. Christ filleth all in all, as stated over here in verse 23 of the book of Ephesians. The body, the church, is the fullness of Jesus Christ who fills all in all. So all things that refer to the church, God gave these things and put these things in subjection under the feet of Jesus Christ. Yeah. That's where my Savior, my Redeemer, my Messiah, that God had placed it in Jesus Christ. I'll take one, I'll take two more. The fourth thing that I want to say about all things is that you have God giving Jesus Christ the right to execute judgment. It's Christ who will judge me in the last day. If we look at Acts, the 17th chapter, in the great sermon by the Apostle Paul when he was in Athens and preaching in Mars Hill, that the subject of his sermon was God that made the heavens and the earth, dwell not in temples made with hands, as though he needed anything. Then I look in verse Acts, the 17th chapter, when I come down to the end of the verse, it says there in verse 30, therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to men that all people everywhere should repent, because he has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead. The resurrection of Jesus Christ and the power of God that raised Christ from the dead is the basis of judgment that's given to Christ to execute on all men. And yet Christ had stated that long before during his personal ministry, when he stated in John the 12th chapter, and in verse 49 and in verse 48, he says this, he who rejects me and does not receive my sayings has one who judges him. The word that I spoke, that will judge him in the last day. So Christ himself has stated it in regard to judgment, in regard to the execution of judgment, that God gave him that right to execute judgment, and that he will judge all of us at the last day based on the word that was given to him by the Father. Because in verse 49, I did not speak on my own initiative, but the Father himself who sent me has given me a commandment as to what to say and what to speak, and I know that his commandment is eternal life. Therefore, the things that I speak just as the Father has told me. What's going to judge me? What's the standard of judgment? The word that Christ spoke. And what is the word that Christ spoke? The gospel of Jesus Christ. Like what Paul had stated in 1 Corinthians 15, I declare unto you this gospel which you received and by which you stand and by which you are saved. For I declare to you, first of all, of prime importance, that Christ died, and he was buried according to the scriptures, and on the third day he was raised from the dead. That's the basis of judgment. Because Paul, in preaching of in Acts the 17th chapter, had stated that God has appointed Jesus Christ to execute judgment on the basis of Christ being raised from the dead. The last one I want to look at in regard to what all things include, that's found in John the 17th chapter, verse 2. Okay? In John the 17th chapter, that's the prayer of Jesus Christ after he had spoken to the apostles in John 14, 15, and 16. And so now he's at the Garden of Gethsemane after his speech and final instructions to his apostle while he was still alive. He goes then and makes this prayer to the Father who is in heaven. He lifted up his eyes to heaven, and he says, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. Even as you gave him authority over all flesh, that to all whom you have given him, he may give eternal life. What can Christ give to me? Eternal life. There's no one else who can give me eternal life except Jesus Christ, because God has appointed Christ to give me eternal life. To know God and to know Christ is to have eternal life. And so he goes on to say this: this is life eternal, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on the earth and have accomplished the work which you have given me to do. Now, Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world even was. So God then, through Christ, can again guarantee me, can bestow upon me, can give me eternal life, so long as I walk in the light as he is in the light, and so long as I keep his commandment and love him, I will have eternal life. And who will render the eternal life to me? Jesus Christ. Okay. So when you look at all of the things, you know, there are several more other things that I can say as to what's included in the all things. But I think there's five things that tells me surely there can be no other person except the person of Jesus Christ that God had chosen and God had given in regard to my eternal plan of salvation. Okay. In that eternal life, he speaks about my inheritance that is in heaven. You find that in Ephesians 1 in regard to I'm sealed by the Holy Spirit that I might become an heir of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that I will suffer with him. But when I turn to 1 Peter, the first chapter, verse 3 and verse 4, about this inheritance that's going to be given to me by God through his Son Jesus Christ, it's such a wonderful statement in which Christ, in which Peter had stated about this inheritance. You look at chapter 1. Verse 3, he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, will not fade away, is reserved in heaven for you, and who are protected by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this, he says, you can greatly rejoice of the fact of that inheritance which is waiting for all of the faithful children of God, that they will receive it when they depart from this earth. All things, which I have stated, this all things, all authority, all wisdom and knowledge of the revelation of God, all the things in regard to being the head of the church in which he subjected all things to Christ, the right to execute judgment, and finally, the right to give you and me eternal life. What more then do I need to look for in regard to the things that God has prepared and designed for our redemption and for our salvation? It's complete. It's all. It's whole thing. It's the entire package that I have made possible by God through his Son, Jesus Christ, when he sacrificed his Son upon the cross, raised him from the dead, and caused him to sit down in the heavenly places. God did for Christ in order that you and I might have eternal life and happiness in heaven. We extend an invitation to you, knowing the fact that all of these things are found in Christ, Paul had stated in Ephesians 1, verse 3, that all spiritual blessings are found in Jesus Christ. The Apostle Peter says, in none other is there salvation except what? In Christ. That means for me to be saved, and that means for me to receive all of the spiritual blessings, I must be where? In Christ. I must be in Christ. And so how do I get into Christ? God, in his wisdom, in his purpose, and in his plan of causing people to become in Christ, had made it in the gospel plan of salvation in accordance to what the Great Commission was. You go, you make disciples of all nations. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. You baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And then you teach them all things whatsoever I commanded you. Galatians, the third chapter, tells me this. You are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Now he's the claimer. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ, you put on Christ. There's no other way in which I can put on Jesus Christ and receive the blessings that are found in Jesus Christ. So the question, I don't have to ask that question. If you're out of Christ, what happens? Then I don't have the spiritual blessings. I must be in Christ. Just like Romans, the third chapter, the sixth chapter has said, you know, know you not that you who were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? That like as Christ was raised from the dead by the Father, so we also might be raised to walk in newness of life. I have newness of life after I'm baptized into Jesus Christ. So that's the invitation to you, that you need to obey the gospel. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And he had said that, Christ had said that so many times while here upon his personal ministry. And if Christ tells me that I must love him and keep his commandments in order for me to enjoy the blessings that come from God through him, then I must comply with his obedience. We stand and sing this invitation song.